since 2005. You're listening to Gamertag Radio with your hosts, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Hi, welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 1186. This is your host, Danny Pena, and also joining me for this special episode is Paris Lilly. What's up, Paris?
Hey, what's going on, man?
Man, happy new year. We haven't recorded this in a while, man.
Happy new year. No, good. Just doing the thing, man.
All right, cool, man. P is going to be joining us next week, but we have a couple of great topics that we're going to be talking about here on Gamertag Radio. But first, head over to GamertagRadio.com. Listen to our past episodes. Also, you can find us on any podcast app. Just search for Gamertag Radio. Make sure to follow us, subscribe, and even post your review. Shout out to everybody that have been reviewing us, not only on Apple Podcasts, but also Spotify. Shout out to you guys for all the support. Now, if you would like to be part of our family discussion, here's how you can contact us.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, Paris, there's been a great conversation and debate about PlayStation releasing more PC games in the future. Recently I've been playing a lot of Horizon PC and also God of War, which came out a couple days ago. It's been doing great on Steam. And I know we talked about this behind the scenes. People are either all for it, releasing games for the PC, but a lot of people are like saying, no, we don't want this. Got to keep PlayStation releasing games only for the console. And that's it. Your thoughts, man, because this has been a great conversation. Even Forbes did an article about this.
Before I even get into the PlayStation thing, because, we're doing this live on Twitch, and I just immediately see this comment, put Bethesda games on PlayStation gives people more options. You know that's not going to happen because it's an Xbox game. Now, let's be realistic about this stuff. So, no, you're not going to get Bethesda games on PlayStation unless they're legacy games. We've talked this to death in 2021, so let's just move on from that. But, So again, shout out to PlayStation because they sent us review copies of God of War on PC. And I know you and Tony did the review here on GTR already. But, I got to play it myself. Phenomenal port over to PC for God of War. Just plays fantastic. Obviously, it's one of the best games ever made. People already know that. So it's great to see the high reviews for that on PC and to see people getting more engaged with it and get excited about God of War again, which has kind of sparked this conversation that's been happening this week about PlayStation and them bringing their titles over the PC. And this is just my personal opinion. This will inevitably lead to them bringing their games to PC day one. And kind of my thought on it has been, why not? I've seen the arguments on both sides. I understand people are saying, well, they're doing it now where they bring older games there to get people excited about, when some of their newer games are coming to PlayStation 5. Yeah. And maybe that'll get people to go out and buy the new hardware and buy a PlayStation 5 and go play like Horizon Forbidden West as an example, Horizon Zero Dawn is on PC right now. Maybe a PC gamer will play Horizon Zero Dawn, fall in love with the franchise. Oh, the new one's coming out on PlayStation 5. I'll go buy a PlayStation 5 and I'll continue to play it there. That's kind of the philosophy that people are thinking. And it makes a lot of sense. I'm not saying short term. Absolutely. That's probably what they're going to do. I'm looking at this more long term, where eventually it doesn't matter that you're buying the console, because as we just saw with Xbox over this past year, even though all their games are day and date on PC, they just had record sales for console. They can't make enough of them, right? People are still buying Xbox consoles. The same is going to apply, if not more, to PlayStation, because the typical PC gamer like myself and you now, Danny, I mean, we're spending a lot of money to build these PC rigs and play on PC. So practically, your cheapest, your value is still going to be able to get a console. So who is it going to harm to put a PC, to put a PlayStation game on PC day one. You're literally catering into a different audience at that point. You're getting someone that was not interested in getting a console that wanted to go build a PC. They're going to go play it there. Or you have people like ourselves. We got all the consoles. We got a PC as well. Then you just decide where you want to play. You want to play it on the console? Great. You want to play it on the PC? Great. But at the end of the day, PlayStation is still getting that software sale, because that's where you make all your revenue, is with software sales. So I don't understand who this is going to harm if all of a sudden PlayStation games, their exclusive titles, start going day and date to PC. It's a choice. It doesn't matter. It is not going to affect you if you play on console, if someone gets to play the same game on PC. So that's just kind of where I am with it. I'm curious what you think about it, but I just think this is a good thing overall, because in my opinion, it's eventually going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Besides the business side, I think as a fan of just gaming overall, you know, you and a lot of people want others to try out Horizon or games like God of War for the first time, right? Mm-hmm. And having that option for these games available on PC, that's going to open the doors for more people to discover all these great PlayStation games. Like, how's that a bad thing? I just don't see it. I don't see anything bad about that. Even with Xbox, I know the company started doing this years ago, releasing, you know, games on the PC, and even having that cross play, cross saves. And actually, I was talking to a friend of mine the other day. Do you remember which one was your first cross platform and cross play game? Because I could tell you right now which one it is for you. Because I know it was for me. It was the same one. We both played the same game.
No, tell me, because I have no idea.
Shadowrun.
It's funny you say that, because I was thinking that in the back of my head. I go, Shadowrun? But
yeah, it was Shadowrun.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
That was the first game that you could play on an Xbox 360 and also PC. And that was like a dope experience, right? But I think that we're ahead of this time.
Way ahead of
this
time.
Way ahead. But yeah, now we get to see, you know, games like, you know, Fortnite started doing this too, and a bunch of other ones. And I think that's great, man, seeing that. And I think it's going to open the doors for more people to become PlayStation fans, man. You know, at the same time, that's more money for the company. Like, how's that a bad thing? I just don't see it. No,
it's not a bad thing. Yeah. And it's kind of like, you know, I was telling you offline the other day, because mm-hmm. this is going to happen. Do not be shocked when this happens. Spider-Man's coming to the PC, 100%.
Do you think 100%. It's this year?
I think it's this year. I think you tie it in with into the Spider-Verse movie. You put it out in October when that comes out. You put out Spider-Man Remastered or whatever they're going to call it. Maybe even put out Miles Morales at the same time. But you put it on PC because Spider-Man is such a popular IP. And we're in this chip shortage right now. So it's going to be very hard to get a PlayStation 5. Why not? Why not put it on PC? Of course, you're just opening it up to more people to be able to experience, you know, one of the best games that's ever been made, right?
Yeah.
We already know that Uncharted collection is going to come to PC. It's inevitable that Horizon Forbidden West is going to come to PC. So at some point, you're going to start to just see them come day and date. I just think it's an inevitability. Why not? Because it's not about the heart. You make your money on software sales. You're not making your money on hardware sales. And honestly, we're gamers. Why do we care what the business model is? We just care about playing great games, right? Mm-hmm. So why not expose these great games to more people, like you said? That's how I look at it. So to sit here and argue on social media about business revenue and blah, 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 why do you care? It should not matter to you. If you were able to play God of War on PlayStation 4 or PlayStation 5, why do you care if someone gets to play it on PC? That's kind of my thing. As a gamer, should not matter to you. So I always find the mental gymnastics of trying to justify why PlayStation shouldn't put their games on PC hilarious to me, because it doesn't affect you as a console gamer. Keep playing on the PlayStation if that's what you want to do. Have fun with your friends. That's what it's supposed to be about. Just because someone now gets to play that same game on a PC, that it's the end of the world now, that all of a sudden doesn't make PlayStation games great anymore. That doesn't mean they don't have a quote unquote exclusive titles. Of course they still do. I don't understand the logic when it comes to that. Just go play games where you want to go play them. Again, choice is a good thing. And basically what you're seeing PlayStation doing is what Xbox has already done. Console, PC, cloud. That's what's happening, because we know they're going to ramp up PlayStation Now. We're going to see more cloud streaming efforts from them too. So having a choice of where to play a game isn't a bad thing. It's a great thing. You should be excited about that.
Yeah, for those who are listening, I have a question for you. For those who are kind of like against this, isn't the thing that you want is for PlayStation to be a successful company, right? Or any of your favorite companies, you want them to be successful, right? Having this option of games releasing on PC is going to help the business. It's going to help the community, especially, to grow even more, because now there's more people getting into PlayStation, right? Same thing with Xbox, right? Like, what is the excuse, Paris, that people have been saying that this is not great for business? Are they working for, well, for PlayStation? Well, are they getting paid? Or like,
yeah, what? That's a hilarious thing to me. You're not getting a paycheck from PlayStation over that, so I don't understand. And I don't understand the outrage. Like, I'm even looking at the chat right now, and this just is one person basically spamming nonsense. But yeah, to that point, it's like, day and date games coming on PC does not ruin the PlayStation console experience. How? Why? You really think all of a sudden you're going to see a dip in hardware sales, console sales for PlayStation? Of course not, because not everyone wants to spend $2,000+ to build a PC. That is a niche, whatever you want to call it, market, in that sense, that the majority of people that have already been catering to the record sales that PlayStation has had the past decade, they play it on console. They're not going to magically, well, you know what? I'm out. I'm never buying a PlayStation again. I'm going to go spend $3,000 and build a PC and play them there. And even if that was the case, PlayStation's still laugh into the bank, because guess what? More people are buying and playing those games.
Yes.
It's about the revenue from the software. And again, I will say, as a gamer, you shouldn't care about that. You should just care about getting great games, no matter where they are.
Yeah. And perfect example, Paris, last year, MLB, the show, came out for Xbox, right? The game became even more successful.
Exactly.
Because of that.
Exactly. You
know? And there's developers that work at PlayStation Studios. They want their games to be available on PC too. So what is the bad thing about this? I just don't get it. I'm confused about this whole thing, Paris. Confused.
No,
look,
I
posted a picture. Once I got my PC, dude, I was like, hey, I'm excited. First time PC gamer, right? I took a picture of Horizon, the screen, just the screen, with my controller. I was playing with the Xbox controller, the game, right? And people were mad. Why are you playing that game using the Xbox controller? I'm like, dude, controller that I have right now to play. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's the part I just don't get. What is the... I'm not ruining your experience. I'm the one playing a fantastic game, by the way. How I'm ruining your experience by me playing a different controller that's not PlayStation, but I have available on the PC, this is a PlayStation game. What's wrong with that?
There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. And that's what I'm saying. It's weird to me, the gatekeeping and the tribalism with that. Mm-hmm. If you want to play a game on PlayStation, go play a game on PlayStation. If that same game ends up on a PC, that does not affect you at all. I don't understand. They think the world's going to end. Xbox is already, if you literally look at what Xbox is doing, that's the model right there. I'm not saying that PlayStation has to copy it 100%, because of course not. And they're probably not going to do that. But it's not hurting Xbox. So why would it hurt PlayStation? I guess that's the point I'm trying to make. PlayStation will continue to make fantastic AAA games. Whether you play it on a PlayStation 5, PlayStation 4, on a PC, or you stream it over the cloud, it's still the same game. And it's still the same great game that you enjoy. So I don't understand why that matters if now all of a sudden you're taking that same game and you're exposing it to more people to play and enjoy. I don't understand the outrage over that. And we've literally been seeing the same silly argument since about 2019, when that first Horizon rumor happened and you saw people getting outraged. PlayStation will never do that. They'll never do it. Here we are in 2022. They're doing it.
And you know what? It's funny. That video that you posted years ago.
Yeah.
I want this game on PC. And this one too. And this one too. You had like
all,
a
and
long,
they're all on PC.
They're all on PC.
That's so funny.
I know. Yeah. But look, think about this, Paris. Days Gone. That game was only available on console. And it was, and I quote, not successful because of it, right? it got released on PC. Yeah. More and more people got the game. I'm saying the game was perfect, but a lot of more PC gamers have been supporting it, right? A perfect example for you PlayStation fans. Look, I love Ratchet & Clank, one of my favorite games from last year. Look at the numbers. Paris, the numbers wasn't as big as the previous.
Because there's a shortage right now on PlayStation 5. It's hard to get. Exactly. And that Returnal is another one. Again, two of the best games of 2021. Absolutely love them. I wish more people had the opportunity to experience Returnal and play Ratchet & Clank. If they're on the PC, that option would be there. And I'm going to address another thing that I see in the chat. Someone was like, I'd never buy another PlayStation console again. It would be pointless. Trust me, PlayStation wouldn't care because guess what? You're still buying their games. That's the point that we're trying to make here. Mm-hmm. This isn't a look, take the silly ass console war out of it. Take all your emotion out of it and just look at it logically. Whether you play that game on a ColecoVision, a PlayStation, a Vectrex, a PC, or on a mobile device, it's still the same game coming from PlayStation that you've enjoyed. Why does it matter? It doesn't matter. You get to choose where you want to go play it. I don't understand the outrage. Again, it just baffles me.
Yo, Paris, this reminds me of like when we were kids that we were so against, like we were like, oh, into the whole console war. This conversation that I've seen people having on Twitter is childish to me. I just don't get the whole thing. First of all, do you work for PlayStation? Are you like one of the top execs or business person that know about all this stuff? Like, I don't see anything wrong with this. This is going to open the doors for more people to discover great PlayStation games. This is going to help PlayStation they can make even more money. And honestly, this is also going to help create more jobs for people to work on those titles to be ported on PC.
Exactly.
There's a win. There's more wins than bad. Like, I don't know. Look, this is what I want to do, Paris. And now I think we should do this Wednesday, 6 p.m. Pacific time.
Yep.
I've usually been doing Twitter Spaces. I've been working with Twitter and Twitter Gaming with that. And I think this will be a great conversation because I want to hear why people are against this. Like, I really want to hear this. Like, I haven't heard a reason for me to be like, hey, you know what? I think you guys are right. I haven't heard anything yet. Everything so far has been more of like what you've been saying, which makes more sense. So I think we should do that. So for those that follow me on Twitter, that's GODFREE. I'm planning to have a live Twitter Spaces because I see a lot of people being really vocal here in the chat.
I guarantee you they don't show up. I'm calling you out right now. Like the person that's spamming in the chat right now, you won't show up on Wednesday. I would love to hear. Again, I want to hear. I've yet to hear a logical reason why PlayStation shouldn't put their games on PC day one. So please, you're more than welcome to come up open forum and state your case so we can understand, because I would love to have that back and forth to understand why this is such a bad thing. Please explain it to me. So, well, like you said, what, Wednesday, 6 p.m. Pacific on Twitter Spaces.
After this recording, I'm going to schedule it so people could hit the reminder. Call in using your phone, or look, you don't want to call in, you can listen to your desktop. Just listen.
Yeah.
Listen to the debates, the discussion of people calling and giving us reasons why they're against this and why they're for it. I think that'll be a great conversation. Yeah. Let me put this in the chat. And there you go. All right. So let's go to the next topic. And look, this is a perfect example, Paris. God of War PC on Steam had over 60,000 concurrent Steam players on day one. And this is an old game, Paris. This was like, what, 2018? Was this a 2018
game? It's 2018, yeah. April 2018, yep.
And look, that was just day one. I know how it is with the Steam community. Once a game comes out and it's good, it's going to go around and more people are going to be buying it. So I think this is pretty good just to see these numbers of a game that came out on PlayStation 4, and now ported to PC. This is really, really cool. All right, the next thing I want to talk to you about, Paris, is PlayStation sent you a package, a pretty cool package, of DualSense controllers, different colors, and also covers for the PS5. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah. So again, shout out to PlayStation. Ironically, that was just so funny. We're talking so much PlayStation, but shout out to PlayStation. Yeah, they sent over to me the other day the new colored line that they have for the DualSense controllers, all the different colors. And they sent me two of the PlayStation 5 covers. They sent me the Cosmic Red and they sent me the black cover as well. Fantastic. I'm literally staring at my PlayStation 5 right now. I have the black cover on there. And like, this is the Cosmic Red controller.
Ooh, that one looks nice.
Yeah. Yeah. This one and the Galactic Purple are kind of my favorite ones. But yeah, it's great. And just looking at the conversation on social media when I posted those pics, a lot of people are excited about it, getting the different colors. And, you know, I think this really opens up as we move forward in the generation, especially with the covers. You're going to see a lot of custom ones like catered towards specific games. Like, imagine, as an example, one for the Wolverine game specifically designed, you know, like Wolverine logos and all that, or even like when the next Uncharted comes out, or even, you know, coming up here right now with Horizon Forbidden West or even Gran Turismo 7. It kind of opens the floodgates for them to be able to do like these custom covers where you don't have to buy like a full PlayStation 5 that's customized. You can literally just do the covers, and that just allows more people to be able to, you know, to have that, you know, that custom look, you know, to their hardware in the home. So it's great, man. I think it's fantastic. Again, really liking the colors that they have for the controllers, and I'm expecting to see more.
Yeah. So do you, is there a release date? Is it already out there? Or
no, you can order all this stuff right now, because I've seen people like posting pics, like they're starting to get them in. I think the controller covers are out. I don't know if the covers are out. That those might be a little more delayed. But yeah, they're going to have all of them out. I think, you know, by February, they should be readily available.
Yeah, I think the black one is good. I like that one for the console. Really, really cool. All right, next topic here. Microsoft, quietly, this is like a super slick, quietly discontinue production of the Xbox One consoles late last year. Your thoughts about that, Paris? Because, you know, this console started when it came out. It was very controversial because of the price, Kinect, and everything, right? But then years later, start releasing new versions of Xbox One, you know, a faster version, smaller version, even a digital, all digital version too, as an experiment. This was a very interesting generation for Xbox, man. Xbox One. They learned a lot from the company, learned a lot from the mistakes, and there was a lot of great games that also came out during that generation, you know, with like The Witcher 3, also for me, Sunset Overdrive, etc. Your thoughts overall, man, Paris, about, you know, Microsoft just stopping this console and now just still 100% working on the current generation now of Xbox Series X and S.
No, it makes sense. It makes sense. And for people that's in the chat watching this, it's like, I grab my Series S. This is why. This is why they discontinued making Xbox Ones, because there's no need to anymore. With the Series S, they've created this value price and a system that does everything, right? You can play your next-gen games on it if you choose. It has full backwards compatibility into the Xbox One family, so you can play all your Xbox One games on there. It just makes sense. And we've obviously seen, you know, with the sales numbers here over the past year, the Series S is selling very well. So it makes sense to just focus on the next gen hardware for Xbox, because they've made it so that it's fully compatible, you know, with the Xbox One generation, and even hell, going back into the 360 and even the original Xbox with backwards compatibility. So makes sense. And eventually they're going to be able to lower the price on the Series S. Like, it wouldn't shock me when we get to next holiday, you see Series X probably like $250, right? They'll probably, you know, have a price cut even at that point. So smarter than to do it. And even people that still have an Xbox One, by them enabling cloud built into the console, you can play next gen games on your Xbox One technically, right? I mean, it may not be 100% ideal, obviously, with latency or everything, but that option is there. So smart move by them. Like I said, when it was not something they were obviously advertising, but then when you go back and think about it, it's like, yeah, it makes sense. Why would they continue to make an Xbox One when they have the Series S, you know, at its current price point? And it's a gateway for people to continue to play next gen games too.
My question to you, during that time of Xbox One generation, right? When you realize, like, you know what? I see what Xbox is doing. I see the future.
I've talked about this many times. It was 2016 when I went to that spring showcase in San Francisco and Phil Spencer gave that keynote. I go, okay, I see where they're going, because he literally laid out everything that you see today. You know, as far as all the services, everything that they're doing, he talked about that in 2016. And we're now seeing all that come to fruition. I mean, obviously from the backwards compatibility initiative, everything that they're doing in the cloud, Game Pass, all of that was talked about back then. You know, obviously Xbox Play Anywhere, games on PC, all of that they were talking about in 2016. And now we're seeing that infrastructure being put in place and becoming a reality. So, you know, hey, it's just the future of where all this stuff is going.
Matt, do you remember this, Paris, right before this was 2020, January of 2020, there was a controversy where Xbox admitted and even mentioned this from the get, we're going to do cross-gen for the first 2 years. And there was... it was trending on Twitter. People were talking about it everywhere, social media. All the media outlets were talking about it too, right? And I remember posting a video like, I don't see anything wrong with this. This is good, because in the beginning, usually, a lot of people don't buy next-gen consoles right away. It usually takes them a year plus, right?
Mm-hmm.
It could be for different reasons. Maybe there's not a certain amount of games that it's not enough for them to invest that console. They still have a lot of the old games that they're still playing for the previous console. It could be about price, etc. So I didn't see anything wrong with that. But a lot of people were trashing Xbox for the company just saying the truth. Like, hey, look, for the first 2 years, cross-gen. And now in the future, especially this year, we're going to get to see that of a lot of these games that's only going to be available on Xbox Series S and X, which is maybe potentially the new Forza game. Starfield is the only next-gen only game. You can't play it on Xbox One unless it's through the cloud, mm-hmm. etc. Do you see them by Xbox making this move, having this, you know, only next-gen only in the future? Do you think that's the right move and the right time for the company to do that or not?
Well, yeah, clearly for everything that, you know, that you were just saying, yeah, it's the right move, because they've given you an avenue to still play next gen games, even if you're on legacy hardware with cloud streaming. Right. So yeah, Matt Booty came out and said this, you know, God, was it, how long ago was that now?
January 2020.
Yeah. January 2020. Yeah. And obviously they caught a lot of flack for it, but here we are now going into 2022. And yeah, I mean, all their Microsoft Game Studio games that are coming out that we know of anyways are all next gen only. Redfall, next gen only. Starfield, next gen only. Knock on wood, if Forza Motorsport comes out this year, next gen only. It's time. It's time for them to do that. And, you know, obviously no one saw COVID coming, so we have the chip shortage. And, you know, it's not everyone can go walk into a store and go get a, you know, a PlayStation 5 or a Series X or an S right now. But they've given you a way to still participate, so to speak, because, again, you can go build a PC, you can cloud stream. So even if you can't get a next gen console, you can still play next gen games. And they're basically moving things forward now, whereas, you know, we know PlayStation this year won't. And again, COVID plays a lot into this, chip short, all that. So I don't fault PlayStation for anything that they're currently doing by ramping up PlayStation 4 production so that they're still giving people an opportunity to play their games. Because we know Horizon Forbidden West, Gran Turismo 7, and God of War Ragnarok will be available on PlayStation 4. They're allowing people to continue to play their games. But at some point, PlayStation as well is going to move on from PlayStation 4, and although games are going to be next gen only, we obviously have already seen two titles that were next gen only on PlayStation with Ratchet and Clank and Returnal. So mm-hmm. they're both going to get there. It looks like, you know, Microsoft or Xbox is going to get there first, to where they're cutting the cord, so to speak, but they're still throwing a lifeline to people that can't get a next gen console in 2022, but with cloud streaming and obviously playing on PC.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's the right move for both companies for different reasons. So, yeah. Okay, cool, man. All right, Paris, this is going to be a good one, man. This is going to because, and I'm going to bring it back, Paris, years ago, I mentioned to you, we were debating, I can't remember which episode it was, but we were debating. I was like, look, man, if the business is going well for Xbox with Game Pass, I bet you PlayStation is going to do the same thing. They're going to make changes in the future to do something similar to Game Pass their way. You know, I'm not saying it's going to be day one or anything like that, but something similar to Game Pass. Now, there's rumors that PlayStation is planning to have something similar to Game Pass to compete with Xbox. And just recently, Sony pulling PlayStation Now retail cards ahead of an expected launch of a Game Pass rival. Now, my question to you, do you think this is true? And what if your thoughts about this if PlayStation announces something similar to Game Pass in the future?
Because it's 100% true. It's Spartacus. That's what they're doing. It's not going to be an exact copy and paste of what Game Pass is doing, but yeah, they're combining PlayStation Plus and PlayStation Now, and they're creating a subscription service. And we're going to start to see some PlayStation 5 games be a part of that subscription. Now, is that going to be day and date stuff? I don't know. We obviously still need to wait and see how that's going to work out. They're still going to have their legacy games are going to be a part of it as well. And they're going to move forward. It just makes sense. We're if you look at entertainment as a whole, the subscription model is where we are with a lot of our entertainment. Obviously, streaming services like Netflix, Disney Plus, and all that. Obviously, Xbox is now doing it, you know, with Game Pass, music, Spotify, as an example. So it's inevitable that they're going to do it. I mean, if you think about it, even Nintendo, you know, is going to dip their toe, you know, at some point into this somehow. So when they're already doing it a little bit, but the point remains, yeah, PlayStation is going to do it. It's smart business to do it. Why not? And like I said, they're probably not going to do the full on Game Pass experience, but they're going to do something to where people feel like they're going to get value out of picking up that subscription. Probably, like I said, a combination of some games, and maybe they don't come day and date, but then maybe they may come a few months later. Couple that with PlayStation Now, with cloud streaming, bring in some of the legacy titles, things like that. Why not? I'm very curious to see what it's going to be. I'm very curious to see what the pricing models will look like. And I'm definitely interested in it. So excited to see what it's going to be.
Yeah. Now, what are the chances of that same thing for PC? PlayStation model. Same thing. Like, for example, console or PC, like similar to Game Pass. Yeah. I think that would be genius.
Why not? I mean, that's the whole point that I'm saying. You're bringing games to multiple platforms. That's how you do it. That's going to bring it all the way back to our original conversation at the top. If you think for 1 second that PlayStation is not going to expand beyond just the console, you're fooling yourself. Of course they are. They're already starting to do it. And that footprint's only going to continue to get bigger. It just makes sense. You make more money with software sales. So you bring the software to where the people are. And that's going to be the PC, and that's going to be the cloud.
Yeah. Do you think Sony's going to announce this soon? Because there's been rumors that the next State of Play is coming up in a couple of weeks in February.
Yeah, seems like it. It seems like first half of this year it's going to get announced. I don't think whatever the hell E3 is going to be. I think this will be before then. This will be before June. So it'll be in the first half of the year.
Yeah. You know what will be a wild announcement? Something where PlayStation figure out a way now that you could play old PlayStation games, the whole library, on not only PlayStation 4, but also PlayStation 5. I think that would be insane. People will go nuts if that happens and say, hey, look, it's available on the service. You can sign up now. You have the option of streaming or download these games. Unless you're still part of the service, you can still download all these games. I think that would be genius if that happens.
It's going to happen. Yeah, I think so. I think they're going to figure it out somehow. It's just, why not? You know, it's good for gamers. So I do think they'll figure it out. And I know there was the Cerny had a patent or something about backwards compatibility. So it sounds like they're ramping up to something.
This is Gamer Tag Radio.
This episode of GTR is brought to you by Surfshark VPN. Surfshark VPN is a browser extension or app-based VPN for all your devices, laptops, Computers, tablets, and even smartphones can all be protected by Surfshark. It helps encrypt your data on the internet, protect your passwords, and by allowing you to change your virtual location, even helps you watch content in other countries like the original Office from the UK, or hey, if they had back in the 90s, I could watch Dragon Ball back in Japan. They even offer a feature called Clean Web that blocks annoying ads, trackers, and even malware, letting you surf the web safely. So if you prefer a safer, less annoying web experience, we recommend using the code GTR to get an insane 83% off plus an extra 3 months of service for free. On top of that, Surfshark is offering a 30-day, no-risk, money-back guarantee. Let's think about that. They're pretty confident if they're going to give you a no-risk 30-day option. So jump on that. And all you have to do is head over to surfshark.deals/GTR in order to take advantage of this crazy offer. Start the year off safe and secure by going to surfshark.deals/GTR to get 83% off and 3 months of service for free.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
Imagine this. I mean, look, it's not going to happen, but imagine they surprise everyone and they were like, Horizon Forbidden West, day one on the service. Oof. That's not going to happen, but just imagine something like that. I think that would be a great thing, man. More, because look, these games are expensive, man.
Yeah, $70.
Imagine buying those games every single month or every few times a year. Oh my God, it's a lot of money, man. A lot of money. So having something like this, having for the right price, I think Paris, $10 a month, $9.99.
It sounds like, I know when Schreier initially was talking about Spartacus, it's going to have a tiered pricing model. So I don't think it's just going to be one price depending on what you get. So that's what I mean. It'll be interesting to see once it's official what they actually settle on and how that works out.
Did he mention like what are the different tiers? What is it?
I'd have to look it up now because
it's all good. Cause I didn't know about that article. That's interesting. Cool, very cool. I think that's genius if Sony managed to do that, man. And look, anybody that's listening to this, please send us voice message, email, or post in the chat your thoughts about all this. I think the gaming is changing, man. It has been changing now for like the past few years, man. And I think this is the right move for everyone, man, especially for low-income families that can't afford these games that's so expensive, $60, $70, having something like this where people could just pay $10 a month and they have hundreds and hundreds of games available there, part of the service, I think it'll be great, man, for everyone, man. So you find the tiers or no?
Yeah, and again, this is all just rumor stuff. It looks like it would be three tiers. The first tier would just be the current PlayStation Plus subscription model. Nothing would really change from that. The second one would bring in to where you would add a collection of PlayStation 4 and PlayStation 5 titles that you can play. Then there would be a third tier that would bring in PS1, PS2, PS3, and PSP games into it. But obviously, we don't. No one knows what the price is going to be yet.
PSP games too? Oh, man. Yeah. Oh, man. Because look, there's no other way to play those games nowadays unless you have those consoles. That's the only way. Or if you have the old version of the PlayStation 3, which allowed you to play PS1 and PS2 games. You remember that, Paris?
Yeah, I remember.
And I remember Sony removed that.
Yeah, they did to cut costs. Because remember originally the 60 gig PlayStation 3 Fat was $600.
Yeah,
that was expensive. And then the 20 gig one was it 500? I think. I think it was something like that. But the point was they literally basically put a PlayStation 2 inside it. That's why. And then when they were starting to cut costs, they took that functionality out.
Oh my God! Now this is gonna be the last topic here, Paris, but. Hey, look, this is just analysts. It's not saying that it's going to happen. It's just a prediction. But analysts predicts Nintendo will skip Switch Pro for a new console in 2024. Does that make sense for Nintendo to just skip the Switch Pro?
Yes.
And release a new console that will be even 10 times better than what they have now.
I think so. I think by the time you get to 2024, like, they could get away with just doing Switch OLED and just that. Look, the Switch keeps selling like hotcakes, so there's not a need for them to put out a Switch Pro to boost sales or to do anything, because the Switch is fine just as it is. So yeah, why not? Why not just go ahead and move on to the next thing at that point? Maybe it has backwards compatibility to current Switch titles, so that kind of makes it a Switch Pro in that sense, to where it could do some things. And then obviously developers would have to, you know, do some things to, you know, like for 4K and all that, if they want to, you know, increase that functionality. But yeah, I don't need a Switch Pro. I would rather them, the next thing, if, like you said, if it's 2024, because when the Switch come out, 2017?
Ooh, I don't remember.
I think it's 2017, right? So that's 7 years. So if we get to that point, that's 7 years. That's a typical console cycle. So yeah, at that point, just move on to the next thing. No point to dragging it out.
March 3rd, 2017. It's going to be the fifth anniversary. Yeah, in a couple months.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
A couple months. Yeah.
That makes sense to me. That makes sense, actually. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's the thing with Nintendo. Nintendo's always last of releasing products and services when you compare it to like Xbox and PlayStation.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the thing. Nintendo's not even competing with PlayStation and Xbox. They're doing like their own thing. The whole company's doing their own thing.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And no matter what, it has a totally different audience too, man. There's people that just have Nintendo games and will not buy an Xbox or PlayStation game at all, because they just love Nintendo games.
Well, it's like we've always said, Nintendo is Nintendo. That's why it was just funny. There was, like I was telling you about the little social media thing earlier where someone was upset with me about the PlayStation stuff and go, well, why don't you bring up Nintendo? The reality of it is, why would you bring up Nintendo? We know damn well Nintendo is Nintendo. They ain't putting nothing on PC. They cater their games around their own unique hardware. It's like you have to take them out of the conversation when it comes to stuff like that, because we know the reality is they're not going to do it. They're going to keep doing what they do because they're successful with it. Why would they change? And then that's why I just think there's no need, especially now with chip shortages and all this stuff. There's no need for them to put out a Switch Pro. The OLED is selling like hotcakes. The original Switch is still selling like hotcakes. They're just going to keep doing what they're going to do. They're going to put out Breath of the Wild 2 at the end of this year. That thing's going to sell like crazy. They'll put out Mario Kart 9. That thing's going to sell like crazy, on down the list, right? Because that's what Nintendo does.
Yeah. You know, speaking about Mario Kart 9, Paris, my question to you, because supposedly there's a rumor that Nintendo's been working on the new Mario Kart.
That's why I brought it up.
With a new twist. Yeah. What's the new twist? But could it be Battle Royale? Could it be a Forza Horizon open world Mario Kart game? Like, what new twist it is?
But that's the thing. That's Nintendo. Nintendo keeps you on their toes, because when you think you know what it's going to be, they'll do something completely unorthodox out of the box that you're like, wow, I didn't even think of that. Wow, you know, but that's Nintendo. They've always been that way.
Yeah, I'm excited for the new Mario Kart. It's been so long since the Wii U, because technically the version that's out for Nintendo Switch, that's the Wii U version. It's just all the levels, and they added a couple new things there, and that's it, you know. But yeah, I miss Mario Kart. And honestly, Mario Kart Double Dash for the GameCube was one of my favorite ones, man. That game was
a freaking classic.
Yep. So good. But when it comes to like a new twist, could it be a 99-player Mario Kart game? That will be pretty insane if they could pull that off. I don't know if they could pull that off, but just saying. We'll see. But please, anybody that's listening here, send your predictions. What is the new twist of this new Mario Kart 9 game that's coming out in the future, man? But I know this year is Bayonetta. That's also another game that's coming out, Paris. I think Kirby is coming out too, I think in March. New Kirby game. They got stuff. They got some stuff there coming up for the Switch. Anything else, Paris?
No, I think that's it, man.
Okay, that's it. Well, good luck. Good luck to your team. They're playing today. And that's it. By the time people are listening, they will know what happened. But there you go. All right, everyone. Head over to GamerTagRadio.com. Post your comments and feedback. Also, listen to our past episodes. And you can find us also on any podcast app. Just search for GamerTag Radio. We're there. tons of content. Just follow us, subscribe, and listen to our podcast. And when you get the chance, please, it just takes less than a minute. Go to your favorite app and post a review. You can post your review now on Apple Podcasts and Spotify also. It will help us to get discovered on these platforms, man, all because of your support. All right, if you would like to be part of our family discussion or segment, please send us questions and comments, and here's how.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, we're going to wrap it up here. Everyone, thank you for listening to Gamertag Radio episode 1186. We'll be back next time here on Gamertag Radio. And also, this Wednesday, if you want to debate with Paris and tell him why PlayStation shouldn't release games on the PC, go to my Twitter Spaces Wednesday at 6 p.m. Pacific time. And I'm so curious to hear everybody's thoughts about this.
I am too.
It's going to be a lot of fun. Yeah. All right, everyone. Until next time, we're out.
Peace.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.